This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Cheeseheads. Get on your feet. It's Curd and Law.
Hosted by Sparky Fifer and Ryan Horvath.
Hey, it's you, Sparky Fifer, 1250 AM The Fan. Follow me on Twitter at Sparky Radio. Ryan Horvath, there he is. Follow him at Ryan Horvath, BetMGM tonight, part of the BetQL. Very, very highly entertaining show with Ryan Horvath and Trista Crick. And who's the newest co-host over there, Ryan Horvath?
Nick Ashew.
That's beautiful. I'm sure he got made fun of a lot of in school, but that's okay. I think it's a pretty cool last name. Okay, also cool was the way the Packers figured out a way to beat the Miami Dolphins 26-20 over Christmas Day, or on Christmas Day, I should say. This is the thing, right? So you look at Aaron Rodgers' box score, 24 of 38, 238, touchdown, an interception, and a quarterback rating of 78.6.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you also got sacked twice. Yeah. If I would have given that to you last week, and by the way, we didn't record Curtin Long on our normal days last week because me and my entire family were sick at home, so apologize for that. But if I would have gave you those numbers, let's say on Friday, if we had done Curtin Long, and said, okay, this is what he's going to do. Can they win that football game? I would assume you would have laughed and said there's no chance you're beating that offense with Rodgers only doing that.
No, I did predict another victory against Miami.
Yeah.
And I said Rodgers is going to have a 300-yard passing performance for the second consecutive week. He didn't have one last week. He hasn't had one since, what, week 12 of last season or whatever it is. Felt like we were going to get there. Things started off all right on the scripted drives. Then they kind of fell apart per usual. A lot of mental mistakes, a bad interception from Rodgers, a couple drop picks. So, if I saw that box score, if I look at his statistical performance from yesterday, I say the Packers probably lose that game, probably by double digits. Now, if you tell me Tua is going to throw those terrible interceptions, those three picks, then that changes things. And man, the Dolphins have been a bad football team the last month. So no, but to answer your question, if I saw Aaron Rodgers' stat line, I would have probably thought that that would be a loss, because the way to get after Miami's defense, when all they do is blitz and play cover zero, you have to be able to push the ball down the field through the air. You're not really able to run the ball. You know, there was some success with A.J. Dillon. We didn't see a whole lot of Aaron Jones yesterday. You really can't run on Miami. So if I saw those stats, I'd say it's probably a double-digit loss. Packers season over. Are we evaluating Jordan Love against the Vikings coming up Sunday at Lambeau?
Yeah, no doubt. And again, in that first half, you were probably thinking Jordan Love is going to be playing against the Vikings, because the Packers defense wasn't that good. They were giving up big plays. And, you know, they ended up being busted coverages. You know, you find out later, which I think everybody kind of assumed when they were watching it. And at one point I tweeted, this Packers team needs safeties next year. Like, I don't want to hear anything other than they must find safeties for next year. And I think they understand they have to find safeties for next year, too. And then comes the story after the game that they got chewed out by their secondary coach and got laid into with some profanity, which normally doesn't happen. Yeah. And that apparently woke them up out of their slumber, Ryan Horvath, at halftime. They played much better in the second half.
And you know what's funny is I saw some press coverage, like they were jamming these fast wide receivers on the outside. Waddle, I mean, I was joking with my brother, not joking, because I was very upset in the first half of that game. It looked like they were completely falling apart. And I was like, this is like a Madden video game where Jalen Waddle has that 85-yard reception. And I'm like, this defense might give up 65 points.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm watching a 9-year-old play Madden right now. And then all of a sudden we did see some second half adjustments. So I actually, you know, I've ragged on the guy all season long. I'll give Joe Barry a little bit of credit. Guys did step up. Yeah, but that's a huge move from Jerry Gray, who I guess is, you know, just the sweetest guy ever, just to start cursing at these guys because they finally showed up. They had a season high in takeaways yesterday. Granted, some of those were terrible interceptions. I got a kick out of the Jair Alexander interview on Fox after the game, where he's like, Tyreek was fast. And then I was like, is he really going to overthrow this? That's pretty much what happened. And that's the crazy thing about Tua, man, is the one positive about Tua, if you've even been a Tua hater the last couple years or even Tua at Alabama, is how accurate of a quarterback he is. You know, he can't really hit the deep ball. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Aaron Rodgers from 5 years ago where he's throwing 70 yards down the field. Right. He's not Patrick Mahomes. But he's literally been the most accurate quarterback in the National Football League the last couple seasons when healthy. And he was all over the place again. So I give some credit to Joe Barry, tons of credit to Jerry Gray for cussing those guys out. The defensive line stepped up. You know, less Dean Lowry seems to be a good thing, more Wyatt a good thing, guys making plays. Something that I took away, my favorite moment of the game, Aaron Rodgers, proven that he's a little bit, you know, the leadership skills have been a little bit better. I don't always love the body language. I'm not the body language police, but I don't know if you caught this. He went over to the defense when they needed that final stop at the end of the game. He was talking with Kenny Clark and the guys, and they said, we got you. And I was like, this seems like a team. Like, this seems like a playoff game, but there were times this season where they just weren't fun to watch. And this is a fun team to watch right now. So shout out Joe Barry. Shout out to Jerry Gray. And, of course, Jair and Rasul Douglas. I thought he played his ass off. And you always got to give credit to Preston Smith. Preston Smith's had a really nice year. I don't think he gets the credit he deserves.
All right, and that's one more time. What impressed you most from that Packers Christmas Day win over the Dolphins? What really impressed me was really how stupid McDaniel is as a coach for the Miami Dolphins. I mean, just plain dumb. I'm sorry. You know, my six-year-old was listening. Daddy, don't say stupid because he hates that word. But I'm telling you what, how you have two running backs averaging 4 and like 5.5 yards a carry and Wilson and Raheem Mostert, and you don't give them the ball more. Like after the first interception, I'd have been like, okay, listen, there's really no need to have him throw the ball this much more the rest of the game. We don't need to. We're playing with the lead. Like we can just run the ball, run the clock out. Don't let Rodgers get the ball back and let's go home. Like, what are we doing? They can't stop us. Why in the world was he still after the second interception? I'm thinking to myself, okay, now what are you going to do? And you're going to put, and now again, the last drive that he threw the interception on, they were out of timeouts. It was under 2 minutes. So, okay, maybe in that situation, you do have to throw the football down the field. But those first two, there was no reason to be throwing the ball as much as they threw the ball with Tua. And this is not the first week where he's come under fire after a game about not running the football. And every week he says, oh, yeah, that's on me, man. You know, we should have ran the ball more than once. I think there was 1 week they ran the ball like one time or something. That's on me. You know, we didn't run the football enough. You're damn right it's on you. You know, you're this offensive genius, and LaFleur speaks highly of you, and everybody loves you. And I liked him, too, coming into the season. And they're playing well. Obviously, they've won. They spent some money and going out and getting him Tyreek Hill to go with Jalen Waddle. He's got the weapons. But by God, if you've got a running game that the opposing team cannot stop – and your quarterback doesn't look like he's on all of a sudden, why would you continue to give the quarterback the ball? Like if I was in Miami right now and doing radio, I would be losing my mind on him. Not on Tua, on the coach, because he never should have been given that many opportunities to throw the football at the end of that game.
And the craziest part about the whole thing, man, is Kyle Shanahan obviously calls Mike McDaniel, he calls him the greatest offensive mind he's ever worked with, but he was the run game coordinator. You know, we talk about Kyle Shanahan and his offense and look what Christian McCaffrey's doing. Right. And look at what Raheem Mostert did in that offense, especially against the Packers in the NFC title game. That's the other thing, man. Did he not have the video tape and see that this man rushed for, what, 250, 260 yards against pretty much the same Green Bay defense? That's the crazy thing here because Miami commits to the run game early in that game, and they had 82 yards. They're coming off a game against Buffalo, against Buffalo's defense, where they rushed for a season high, I believe, 188 yards. So it looked like, hey, you know, we kind of figured some things out here. We got Jeff Wilson, who we made this deal for. We have Raheem Mostert, who's this track star who runs a 4.3 40, who's familiar with this type of offense. all of a sudden we're running the ball against Buffalo, and then everything's working against Green Bay. Finally, the defensive line steps up, what, 2-3 times, and then he just completely neglects and throws out the run game, and he has Tua playing hero ball, and it doesn't make any sense, because that's not Tua, man. And so I'm with you there. And you, and I, like you said, Mostert, he was averaging 5.6 yards per carry. He only had 8 touches for 45 yards. Imagine if he gets 16 carries in that game. Jeff Wilson Jr., 9 carries for 37. That means he's averaging 4 yards per pop. That's my only problem with some of these young offensive minds, you know? It's like, you have to stick with the run game. It's like body blows. You know, you just keep, even if it's 3-4 yards here, or let's say the Packers get a stop for 2 yards, hit them with it again. I saw Bill Walsh one time call the same play 16 times in a row, you know? and that's my only problem, is some of these guys, LaFleur as well, they get a little bit too cute. They get a little bit too pass happy. We saw it again yesterday. Like, keep feeding A.J. Dillon. Feed the beast. Get Aaron Jones involved. I love Aaron Rodgers, but this isn't 2017 anymore. I like Tua, but this isn't, you know, 2019 Alabama. Use your backs, man. But yeah, special thanks to him, because he lost his damn mind and the Packers benefited, because if they continue to run the ball, they're probably season over.
That was absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Other thing that impressed me, and you brought it up earlier, and that is Joe Barry. And, you know, look, how much credit does he get, or, you know, what adjustments did he make at halftime? Because Jerry Gray gets, you know, the secondary coach gets a credit for yelling at the cornerbacks. In reality, I mean, Tua made some bad decisions. I mean, the Rasul Douglas one was right to him. The Jair Alexander one was right to him. The Devondre Campbell one, he had a reach for, and that was a hell of a catch, I think, by Devondre Campbell, that one he made. That one he had to reach out for and snag a little bit. The other two were right in the breadbasket, like, boom, boom, thank you, we're out of here. I mean, they could have dropped it, I guess, but it was right to them. And I was joking on Twitter after the first one, Joe Barry for president. And everybody started. I don't think they really appreciated that one necessarily as much. But I want this next podcast. I want to talk about, not right now specifically, but next podcast, Horvat, when we record on Wednesday, can Joe Barry save his job? Are we in a position right now, if this Packers team and this defense plays well the next couple of weeks going into the playoffs, is Joe Barry in a position? Because I think everybody thinks he's going to get fired. Is Joe Barry in a position to save his job and be back as defensive coordinator next year, depending on what happens in this Vikings game and Lions game and whether or not this team makes the playoffs? So that's Wednesday, Curt and Long podcast Wednesday. Stay tuned for that. I think you'll enjoy that conversation. All right. What impressed you most from the Packers Christmas Day win over the Dolphins of everything that we talked about?
Second half adjustments on the defensive side of the ball, obviously. That's one big thing. The 4 takeaways, huge. I'm going to go with, for me, I'll go on the offensive side of the ball, and I'm going to give a special shout-out to 2 guys. And I'll start with Allen Lazard, 5 receptions yesterday for 61 yards on 11 targets. It's not going to jump out of the box score, but if you go back and you watch the way that he was blocking down the field, I just actually retweeted a clip.
Didn't he knock out 3 dudes?
And then he started counting all 3 of them. Yep. And, you know, he's just he had a bad drop in that game, but he's been reliable when called upon. So I'll give a special shout-out to Allen Lazard. And then the other guy has got to be big dog Mercedes Lewis. Again, only 2 receptions for 32 yards, but Steve, he's 55 years old. He catches that touchdown in the back of the end zone. I called that play. I said, I have faith in one man right now that he's not going to drop this football if called upon, and nobody's going to expect Mercedes Lewis. If you run a little play action fake, you put him in the corner of the end zone. My mom, she was like, you need to be calling plays. I said, no. I said, anybody with eyeballs that's been watching this offense in the red zone could have called that play, right? Yep. I mean, the red zone offense, I'll get to that here in a minute. That did not impress me. But, yeah, guys stepped up. Mercedes Lewis, Allen Lazard. Another thing that impressed me, Aaron Rodgers' leadership skills yesterday, and he proved to all the people on social media that think he's just back for the paycheck. He wants to win. And it drove my brother crazy. I was watching the game with him. He pulls one to Dillon, and he keeps it himself. But he used his legs a little bit yesterday, man. He picked up some first downs with his legs.
I don't ever want to see that play. I don't ever want to see that play call again.
No,
if that was designed for him to do that, no, You are old, and I don't want you broken. So with all due respect,
one on one, he thought he had the backer one on one.
I don't care who. I don't care if he had you one on one. I don't trust him. I don't want that dude carrying the football on purpose. Like, there is no reason for that, dude. If there's 10 yards in front of you and nobody's open, run. I'm all for it. But a designed run for an aging quarterback that could retire after this year, next year, or whatever else. Do I want to see what Jordan Love looks like at some point? Yes. Do I want to see it because Aaron Rodgers has a broken leg on a designed run? Absolutely not. So if that's what that was, then LaFleur, please burn that. If that was Rodgers on his own, then somebody please tell 12 never to do that again. Like ever, ever again the rest of his career. He wasn't doing that type of stuff early in his career.
No, but you got to give him credit. He wanted that game yesterday. And again, he goes over to the defense. He's talking with Kenny Clark and the boys, and he says, you got to go out there. You got to get us to stop. Our season's on the line. And they do so. He was engaging. That's what I want to see. I don't want to just see him moping on the sidelines every single week. So I think we saw Aaron Rodgers still cares, and we saw some leadership from him. Mason Crosby, obviously, that's impressive. Breaks Brett Favre's record, makes a couple field goals in that game. And lastly, I think I do have to, again, you got to shout out the defensive side of the ball because season over if they don't step up in the second half. But love what I saw from Mercedes Lewis, Alan Lazard, and Aaron Rodgers, two old guys yesterday stepping up and making plays.
You got to talk about them overcoming injuries as well. They lose Yash Nyman. They lose Keyshawn Nixon. They lose Christian Watson, Dean Lowry, all in the game.
Yeah.
Which replacement impressed you most in this one? Which replacement for those four guys impressed you most? I'll start.
Yeah.
Royce Newman. Oh, my God. Royce Newman, end of the game. Flag. Oh, my God. Here we go. Oh, this is going to – please don't let this be the reason why they lose this game because this dude ends up being a turnstile. Hey, man, he played okay. Yeah, he had a couple flags, but he wasn't getting destroyed at right tackle, and it wasn't becoming a huge issue for Aaron Rodgers throughout the game where they had a Kent constantly help, I don't think. I mean, I haven't watched L22, but I don't think they were helping him a ton. So for me, okay, that was serviceable, fine. Nixon, I mean, look, the game starts off, and you're like, oh, my God, maybe this is Desmond Howard. I'm not quite sure what we're watching here, but this is looking pretty good. And then he goes out, and Dobbs did fine, but then Gaines is on the field on defense. Raise your hand and tell me how much you know about this dude before we watch. How much do most Packer fans even know about this dude? Most Packer fans are like, who the hell is this?
Yeah.
But he was out there. He was serviceable. He was okay. Christian Watson goes out, and now you're being left to, okay, we've been through this before, and this Packers offense struggled mightily without Christian Watson before. Romeo Dobbs stepped up, played well. Lazard, you talk about being impressed. He had that one big drop, but outside of that, he played fairly well, blocking a two. And then Dean Lowry and Devontae Wyatt comes onto the scene. Now, Devontae Wyatt has been here and there throughout the season, and it has shown you a little something throughout the season, but you really haven't seen a bigger dose of him. You got to see a bigger dose of him yesterday. Played well. Played really well. So which replacement impressed you most? Ryan Horvath.
Yeah, good question. I'd say any replacement for Dean Lowry is a good replacement. I mean, I want to see more Wyatt. I thought he was excellent yesterday. And I thought Jaron Reed was really good yesterday as well. You know, he had six tackles, four solo tackles, two quarterback hits in that game. So I'm going to go with Dean Lowry's replacement. I don't like to just come on the pod every week and rag on Dean Lowry. He is what he is, but I don't really want to see too much more of Dean Lowry. And I never root for anybody to be injured, but the defense, I mean, things just look much better. I mean, even against the run. So I'm going to go with Jaron Reed, actually. I thought TJ Slayton, your guy, stepped up a little bit.
Yep.
You know, had three tackles, two solo, had one tackle for a loss. So I'm going to go with everybody on that defensive line, man, because I thought season over, you're going to get gashed. You're going to give up 300 yards on the ground. Dean Lowry exits. Those guys step in, and they were tremendous. I thought when Yash went out, I thought season over also. I can't watch too much more Royce, but again, stepped up, especially with the run game. Do worry about him on passing downs. He's a liability. Need Nixon back, man. There is no replacement for that kid. Shout out to Romeo Dobbs. I called it. I said he's doing an Amari Rodgers. He took one out of the end zone and got back to, what, the 11, 12-yard line.
Yep.
Guys were yelling at him. I don't think there is a replacement, so I was not impressed there. And then got to get Watson back on the field as well. I worry about him a little bit, staying healthy, man. Like, he seems like a guy that's just going to be injured every single season. Every week
seems like early. Yep.
You know? So, but I thought Romeo Dobbs, Alan Alan Lazard, everybody that had to step in, stepped in. I mean, Rodgers completed a pass to what, 10, 11 different receivers yesterday?
Yeah,
we had a Robert Tonyan sighting. First half, I'm asking, why the hell doesn't Robert Tonyan ever run any routes?
We talked about this. We talked about this on the podcast.
Yeah.
And not only did we talk about it on the podcast, then they asked him about it, asked LaFleur about it in the press conference last week about what happened to Robert Tonyan. We literally talked about it. They then asked LaFleur about it, and LaFleur pretty much said, well, you know, it's just kind of play design and kind of, you know, the way the offense is going is kind of dictating, you know, who's getting the balls one way or the other. With all due respect to Matt LaFleur, that's hogwash. I don't believe you. Either he's just not getting separation anymore and he's not getting open, and I don't watch the All-22 like a lot of y'all do, but either he's just not getting the separation, not getting open as much, or they're simply just not calling plays for him, and they're using him to run block more than they're using him to run routes one way or the other. How do you go from having, well, didn't he have double-digit touchdowns a couple of years ago? How do you go from that and being a guy that looked like, holy crap, like they got a legitimate tight end here. I didn't think he was going to be like this, and I'm not saying he's, you know, he's not your Michael Finley athletically or anything like that, but he can be Chimura. He's probably more athletic than Chimura, right around the same. He could be a reliable tight end, I think, in this offense. So I just, to me, the answer of, well, you know, we haven't really called plays necessarily that way, it's within the flow of the game, it has nothing to do with him, that's just all nice sidestepping and not wanting to put blame anywhere on what really is going on. But there has to be more to this story than they just decided to X him out of the offense this season. Like, I don't buy it.
You know, he's blocked his ass off this year. He doesn't look fully back from that ACL injury. There's times where he does catch a ball and he looks like he's running in quicksand. But I thought everybody kind of stepped up. Everybody that had to catch a ball yesterday stepped up. So you got to get Watson and Nixon back. Those guys are obviously really important. The offensive line's been a mess with injuries the last couple of years. So I'm going to go with I'll stick with my Dean Lowry, man. Everybody that stepped in on the defensive line, game balls for everybody on that defensive line except for Dean Lowry. And I'll give him one for getting injured, although I never root for injury.
Cheesehead TV puts out a big post article. I think it's every week, and they put out snap counts and stuff, as do other people.
Yeah.
Well, this is the one I'm reading it from, so I give him credit. Kenny Clark had 40 snaps in that game, 80% of the defense. Jaron Reed, 34 snaps. He played well too, by the way. Don't forget about Jaron Reed. Wyatt, 24 snaps. Slade in 20 snaps. And then Dean Lowry actually only got in on 7, and then he ended up dinged up on that one.
Yeah.
On the defensive side, you had Douglas, Amos, Alexander, and Campbell play every single snap of defense. Walker played every snap but two. Quay Walker did. And then you had, you know, some other guys coming into this thing,
Quay had a rough day. Adrian Amos, I know you're going to look in the box score and see all those tackles, but there's a reason that your safety is leading your team in tackles. I thought he looked just old yesterday. They're a very bad, poor tackling team. Like, while I'm giving them credit for the second,
but haven't we said that?
I have to interject and say, watching that team tackle has taken years off my life.
But Horvath, haven't we talked about them being a bad tackling team back to McCarthy? I mean, I feel like even in McCarthy's years, we were sitting on the big show taking calls, people ripping them about tackling, and Gary Leroy talking about, well, you know, it's not the same way it used to be. You don't have as many live contact drills and padded practices, so you're really not practicing it as much anymore, and blah, 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 blah. And we've had this conversation a million times. Like, so I would love to, I'm sure this stat exists somewhere, and you people that, you know, live on the internet and look at numbers and all that stuff, let me know. Tweet it at Sparky Radio or at Horvath, either one. Who are the best tackling teams in the NFL each year for like the last 5 years? Like, are they the same teams with the same coaching staffs every year? Right. Is it the same teams, the same coach staffs? Meaning the teams that are lead the league in, you know, the fewest amount of missed tackles. And then who are the worst tackling teams in the league for the last 5 years, let's say? And is that the same type of coaching staffs, or is it different coaching staffs but the same dudes? Like, there has to be something to this. And then how much of a separation really is there from the team that is the fewest tackles to the team that is the most tackles? Are we talking about a 5 missed tackle difference between one and last? Or is it like 50 is a difference, right? 50 fewer missed tackles, because that's significant. If it's that big, okay, then we should have a big conversation about that going forward with this organization.
Yeah, you look at the good tackling teams, right, like Baltimore, and I think a lot of it's coaching. I think a lot of it is, obviously, most of it has to do with talent, though, because you saw yesterday there were guys that were in their spots, like Jair flying. That was, thank God Jair saved himself with that pick in a pretty good second half, because his tackling effort yesterday was very poor. And you know what doesn't help, man? Devondre Campbell, I don't want to rag on the guy, but he's just not having the season that he had last year. I went back and looked at this again last night. He had 2 missed tackles all of last season. I think he had like 7 or 8 missed tackles going into week 3 or week 4, and then he was dinged up. Quay's obviously a rookie. He's only going to get better. So while we rag on Joe Barry, and rightfully so, also guys need to step up at times and stop some of these tackles. So, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Devontae White, by the way, one who replacement impressed me most. They all did fine. Like, everybody did fine. Nobody was horrible or filling in for the guy they filled in for. They don't have a replacement for Nixon, like Ryan said. So no matter who was going back there, that wasn't going to change anything. Topic number 3. Don't forget, you can download this Curd and Long podcast wherever podcasts are available. Google Podcasts. You can go on Odyssey. You can go on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Record Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Normally, they post by 5 in the afternoon. And then with all the cuts and everything else, the very next morning by, 4 a.m. or something like that, it posts by. So always there, usually, unless he or I are out sick, like was the case last week with me. Aaron Jones, are you concerned about what you saw on Christmas Day from Aaron Jones? And the thing that amazes me is I tweeted out before we started this podcast, said, hey, look, when we started the podcast, any tweets y'all want us to get in? Isaiah tweeted, why was Aaron Jones not used again in the second half? LOL, was he injured? He probably would have scored if he was running on the red zone rush where Dylan slipped on that cutback to the middle of the field. Do you agree or disagree, Ryan Horvath?
I think he probably would have. You know, man, how does A.J. Dillon get taken out by that, though? That could have been very costly because that puts you up 2 scores. They end up taking the field goal. They're up 6 rather than going up 10. Not here to rag on A.J. Dillon, though. He's been much better. Although yesterday, 11 carries for 36 yards, only 3 per pop. I wanted to see a little bit more Aaron Jones, but I think the reason that we're not seeing more Aaron Jones is because he's barely even practicing right now. He's been dinged up pretty much the last month of the season. Yeah, and we might find out that he's dealing with more than even that, because he's taken some vicious hits. I love Aaron Jones, but there's a reason why they use A.J. Dillon so much, and they try to save Aaron Jones until later on in the season. He's just such a little guy, man. He just gets like ping-ponged around. He runs really hard, but he takes some vicious hits, and he's a little dude. 6 carries yesterday for 25 yards, was averaging 4 per carry. I think it's just injury right now. You're probably – you know, a couple weeks ago, I would have said, well, they know the season's probably over. You don't want this guy dealing with an injury throughout the offseason and rehabbing all offseason. You're probably bringing him back next year, right? You just committed to him last year. But now, I mean, you're going to need him against Minnesota. You're definitely going to need him against Detroit. You can't really beat Miami, like I said, on the ground. I thought he'd maybe be used more as a pass catcher yesterday, which he really wasn't. They didn't really need him. You know, I mean, A.J. Dillon was fine yesterday. I think you're definitely going to need him against Minnesota. So hopefully they're just saving him up here, but I think that has to be it with the usage. I think it has to be injury, because there's no way that Matt LaFleur just decided yesterday to only give him 6 touches in that game when he's averaging 4 per pop.
So this is the thing.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than 1 billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When Aaron Jones first got to the Green Bay Packers and was part of the team and was showing some stuff, I remember Gary Allerson, by the way, their Leap podcast, really good. Him and Leroy do a great job with that Leap podcast. But I remember Gary saying, dude, he's not going to last. Like you just said, he's too small. Like, it's never going to, dude, he's not going to last. And then he puts together a full season, gets the payday. And Gary's like, okay, well, okay, maybe I was wrong. But having A.J. Dillon obviously helps. You and I talked about last week on Curtin Log about A.J. Dillon, Eddie Lacy. Like, what's the deal? Like, when McCarthy wouldn't run Lacy until like December, and then they would just keep feeding the ball in September. And I would get all mad, like, dude, he could hurt people in September, October, and November too, in the fourth quarter. Yeah. We don't have to wait till December. And now we're back to this with AJ Dillon. I do agree with you. I think Aaron Jones is probably more beat up than anybody realizes. I think he is significantly dinged up. And now with two games left here, you got yourself in a little bit of a conundrum. As weird as this sounds, do you save him for the playoffs? Are you trying to get him ready to play in the
playoffs?
Are you trying to get him ready for the playoffs at this point? Is that what's going on? We're just going to keep feeding Dillon, and if something happens, fine. But, I mean, you even saw Patrick Taylor make a big play in that game for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Come off the sideline and make that play. When that happened, I think that's when everybody said, what the hell is going on with Aaron Jones? Like, why is this dude even on the field? Like, why is he on the field? Aaron Jones is active. AJ Dillon is active. Why am I watching Patrick Taylor run out in the field for the Packers? Not that I have any issue with Patrick Taylor. I do not. But I think that was a red flag to a lot of Packer fans. Like, okay, that's cool. We've watched him in preseason the last couple of years. Glad he made that play. But that should be Aaron Jones.
No, I agree. Huge 17-yard reception, though, for Patrick Taylor. Showed some good bursts there. I think that's what it comes down to, man. I think he's injured. I don't know what you're saving him for. He just doesn't look good, and LaFleur sees that. So I think he's dealing with a little bit more than we know about. I think that's what it comes down to. But they're going to need him this week against the Vikings in that defense. Minnesota's run defense is so brutal. Their secondary is so brutal. They're giving up 400 yards pretty much every single week. So you're going to need a lot of Aaron Jones, not only carrying the ball, but as a pass catcher. I think he's going to need 6-7 receptions in that game, because Minnesota, man, I think a lot of people expect them just to kind of take next week off. They've already obviously wrapped up the NFC North. They have an outside shot still to get that one seed, but I mean, Philadelphia needs to lose the next 2 weeks. I think they win at least one of those games. But Minnesota, they're going to want to knock out Green Bay. That's not a team you want to see down the road, and that's still your rival. They're going to want to go to Lambeau Field, Zadarius and those guys, and
yes,
beat the Packers. You're going to need a big game from Aaron Jones. So I am a little concerned that he's about 50-60% right now, because he's the type of guy, and Aaron Rodgers said it in the press conference last week after the Monday night against the Rams. He shouted him out, and he gave him credit. He said, because I got to shout out Jonesy, because we didn't think he was going back into that game in the second half. You know, he showed fight. He showed a bunch of heart. When AJ got dinged, he had to go back in there. That's telling you that Aaron Jones is about 40-50% probably right now. And we're going to find out some stuff probably after the season. So I am a little concerned, because you're going to need him against Minnesota, and you're going to need him against Detroit, because those are two really bad defenses. Miami's a good run defense. You had to get them through the air, so you didn't really miss them a whole lot yesterday.
Royce Newman, if he has to play right tackle in that Vikings game, I'm going to be concerned about him for an entire game. Because the one thing that I think I'm pretty sure that's going to happen in that game, and we'll talk more about the Vikings game as we get closer, they're going to blitz. They're going. Donatello's not going to sit back there and not just let Aaron Rodgers pick him apart. Like I don't think that's going to be the case. Remember, Pettin is there too. They're going to bring heat, and they're going to go at Royce Newman. You can bet your bottom dollar if he is out there at right tackle. They're going to create problems for him. And Za'Darius Smith, I got a little surprise win for you. This is how this is going to go. Every time you decide you're going to come, A.J. Dillon is going to hit you as he's going out on his pass route. Every single time you come, we're chipping. And I don't care if Bakhtiari is got you or if it's Newman. Doesn't matter. I just want to hit you every single time to make sure you understand that you're at Lambeau. You are not going to own us. And if you do own us, you're going to be so beat up by the end of that game, you're going to wish you never played us, because we're going to just continue to chip you play after play after play after play after play, because you cannot allow him to be the reason you don't go to the playoffs.
No, you can't see Royce Newman in that game. Royce Newman cannot start that game. You're going to need Yash back. Hopefully Bakhtiari could play this week, because I was trying to be positive, but they really can't run the ball. It seems like they don't want to run the ball when Royce Newman is on that field, and I don't trust them in pass pro. Again, I thought it's a rough watch, man. So I completely agree with you. Also, whatever that 4th-and-2 fake punt call was, take that, throw that in the trash, light that on fire. I don't know if that's LaFleur. I never want to see whatever that was ever again. If you're going to go for it on 4th down and you have AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones on your roster, just send Aaron Rodgers out on that field, turn around and hand one of those two guys the ball. We're not fake snapping to the fullback, okay?
That was a fireball offense. What are you doing? Wasn't the punter like on the goal line or around the end zone when he caught the ball to begin with?
Desperation.
You weren't at like their 40-yard line running this fake punt where it's kind of questionable field goal distance or whatever, and they're still going to have to go half the field. You're backed up to your end zone running a fake punt? Right, that's what it was. It was desperation. It was hell. We are going to be able to keep up with them if we don't score every single time, because our defense sucks at this point. So we have to come up with some trick plays in order to work. And when I saw that, I don't remember what I tweeted, something about being maybe the dumbest play call ever or something. But that, I agree with you, don't want to see it. And then I see people on Twitter, God bless you Packer fans whose heads are in the clouds. I see Packer fans on Twitter, well, I don't have a problem with it, because even if he would have punted, they would have been in field goal territory anyhow, probably, had even just fair caught the ball after he would have punted the ball. They still would have had a short field, so I don't have a problem with it. You're right, dude. You'd rather have him go 50 yards, or would you rather have him go like 20? Which way would you rather have him go, 25 yards or 50 yards? For me, give me the 50 or 60-yard drive versus the 20 to 25-yard drive, or wherever the hell they ended up on that drive. I don't even care about the play call or the play design. Who cares? I don't care. The fact that you even were contemplating it and that you even tried to run it, somebody's head should be examined on that one. Absolute insanity.
Yeah, whether it's Rich, whether it's LaFleur, somebody, that is a fireable offense. Oh, God. If they lose that game, that might be a fireable offense. And then one more thing while we're on 4th-and-2 discussion, and while we're also talking to Aaron Jones, I don't care if Aaron Jones is 25%. If it's 4th-and-2, you run the football with Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon. Or you come up with something more creative than the 4th-and-2 Aaron Rodgers shot play down the field. Like 4th-and-2. The heave down the field. I get you had Christian Watson one-on-one.
He missed them so badly. Oh, my God.
Every week, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2, 3rd-and-2, we go to the shot play. Devontae, not here anymore, right? Like, that is – I love Aaron Rodgers, but my God, or LaFleur, whoever's idea that is, that needs to go.
That's
the most
Rodgers.
Frustrating play call. I would rather, honestly, and we saw it on 3rd-and-1 or – 3rd-and-2 yesterday, A.J. Dillon gets stuffed. I'm fine with that. Like, you drafted this kid in the 2nd round. In the 2nd round, you took a running back for cold weather games and for short yardage and goal line situations. If it's 4th-and-2, I do not want 38, 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers chucking the ball down the field to the rookie out of North Dakota State. For the 1 to 2 yards.
I don't mind it if the guy's open. And Watson was definitely open, and he flat out missed him. And he said,
Rodgers don't hit that anymore. Yeah.
Rodgers just said, I missed him. Like, that was on me. That wasn't on him. I just missed the throw at the end of the day. That's who that kind of comes back to. And so I don't have as much of a problem with that. I mean, look at Tampa Bay. Look at Tampa Bay. Sunday or at Christmas, Fournette, I think he had three straight runs on second and one, third and one, and fourth and one, and they couldn't get a damn yard. And people were losing their mind. They're like, this team doesn't deserve to go to the playoffs. They can't get a yard against Arizona. Now they come and they rally back. They win the game eventually with Brady anyhow. But that's the same type of thing. If you don't trust your offensive line to block, right? And in this situation, maybe they don't with what was out there yesterday. Maybe they're like, maybe we can, maybe we can't. Who is it on? I think it's Rodgers. Rodgers was doing this stuff with McCarthy, was he not?
Yeah,
this fourth down and two throw play, 40 yards. They were doing the same thing with McCarthy, the exact same thing. And then, speaking of that, about was it on Rodgers, is it on LaFleur, whatever the case may be, do you see Rodgers talking about that throw to Mercedes Lewis that you were talking about earlier down the left sideline?
Yeah.
He was asked about Mercedes Lewis and coming up with a couple big plays or whatever else. And before Rodgers would even answer the question, Rodgers goes, yeah, and just so you know, I don't like the concept that we ran on that play or whatever. But, and then he went on to talk about the concept or whatever, and then said that Dobbs had the opportunity to go inside or outside. And he goes, he should have went outside. That was probably the better option. But he went inside. So I just chucked it up to Big Dog and tried to give him a chance to give him the ball. And it was a crazy throw. I mean, it was like sidearm falling away, everything else, and dropped it in there perfectly. So he can still make throws, you know, down the field. It's not like he can't make the throw down the field. But when you have that guy that wide open like he had Watson, damn. And again, you give Dobbs and Watson all offseason, another training camp with Rodgers, and coming to next year, I'm telling you, Ryan Horvath, this offense, I'm telling you.
Unless they just run the table and they win the damn Super Bowl, then we're not seeing Aaron Rodgers next year.
Run the table.
If they win a Super Bowl this year with everything that he's been through, that's the end of Aaron Rodgers.
No chance. No chance. Because now he's got a chance at three Super Bowls then. Now he gets into a whole different company of quarterbacks with three. And if they win it this year with this, and they essentially, because they're going to bring back Dylan comes back, right?
Yeah.
Jones probably comes back on some type of new contract because I can't imagine they keep him with a contract he has. But either way, so Jones, Dylan come back. Watson's back. Dobbs is back. You get Toure back again. Maybe you lose Lazard. I don't know how much he's going to go for. Maybe you get him back on the cheap. Cobb's not going anywhere. He'll play with Rodgers for minimum at this point. So he's back. I mean, tight end is the only thing. If you're right on Tunney, that he's just not healthy. So now he gets a whole nother few months to recover if he starts to look better. But again, he's a free agent. And he's costing himself money by not getting any topics, any targets thrown to him. You said run the table, which brings me to our last topic. Is this starting to feel like a Packers magic carpet ride again? Tweeted it out yesterday to Gary Ellerson. Said, hey, man, feels like a magic carpet ride. That's what I called it when they went to the last Super Bowl, when they had to win their last three or four games on the way out, and everything was working. Ted was plucking dudes off the street. They were playing like Pro Bowlers. They had like 18 guys on the IR. No matter what they did, something good happened. Something worked. Teams were losing that were supposed to lose. Everything worked for them going in. They won a low-scoring game against the Bears to get in. Like, it was unbelievable that year. And this, I'm telling you right now, starting to feel like it to me. I mean, nobody would have been saying anything like this crazy nonsense before. Niners are dominating teams still with Purdy at quarterback. And I know how good Philadelphia is, even though the Cowboys did their thing. But this team is starting to feel like it. And it was fun because yesterday, I'll give you a little play-by-play on my phone, talking to my dad as we were texting back and forth. And after that first interception, I'm like, got some magic going today. Hope it continues. And then he throws another interception. And my dad goes, magic does continue. I'm like, sure does. And then my dad's getting furious because they're not running the football. So it's like, run. I'm like, yeah, totally agree. And then he throws another interception, the third one. He's like, more magic question mark? I'm like, yep, ha, ha, ha. That's horrible. And it was a horrible throw by Tua there to end it. Yeah. And I'm just like, man, come on, man. Like, I don't care what anybody said. I don't think anybody saw that game playing out the way that it did. And then have every freaking team you needed to lose. I was laughing on Saturday. I'm going, This is insane. Like, every team they needed to lose is losing and then held on and lost. Horvat, might be time to dust off the magic carpet, baby. Might be time to hop on. They need two wins. And I mean, again, the Commanders are going to lose a game. So they're going to have a chance to get in. They're saying there might be some quarterback controversy because Wentz came in at the end of that game now in Washington. Get out of here. I mean,
I want to see Carson Wentz, you know, rooting for Washington to lose. It's starting to feel like it a little bit. I'm pumping the brakes. I just want to get into the playoffs. But, man, I thought yesterday obviously was the big game. Going into Miami, beating that Dolphins team, who I know they've struggled here the last month. But you look at all those weapons they have on the offensive side of the ball, man. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Tua, Mike McDaniel calling the plays. So it's starting to feel like that because look at how the schedule sets up. You get a revenge game against Minnesota, who beat you week one. But if you go back and watch that game, they get off to a nice little start. The Packers could not cover Justin Jefferson. I want Jair Alexander, and I know we're going to preview this game all week, shadowing Justin Jefferson. Sure. I'd rather just die playing man coverage than just get picked apart all game long. So I think you're going to have to play some man. He's going to have to follow him around because that's the thing. Kevin O'Connell, Mike Zimmer, in that old Vikings offense, it would just be Justin Jefferson lined up 80% of the time on the outside or every once in a while in the slot. They're lining him up in the backfield, lining him up as a tight end. He's all over the place. So Jair's going to have to shadow him all day long. I do not want to die by that guy again. But you have a dome team coming to Lambeau Field, cold weather game, revenge game. And in the second half, Minnesota didn't really do anything in that game. And who knows? Christian Watson catches that ball, you know, the first play of the season, and it's a 7-7 game. Maybe it's a different story. So I feel really good because then what do you get week 18? Same thing. You get a dome team, Detroit, coming to Lambeau Field. So two home games, cold weather, dome teams, Kirk Cousins, cold weather game. And then you get Jared Goff, cold weather game against a pretty good secondary. I know at times they give up explosive plays. Detroit's not playing very good defensively. And then if you do get into the playoffs, I like these matchups. Yeah, you have to go to San Francisco and beat the 49ers. But you're getting Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. I know he's pushing the ball down the field. He looks good right now. I shouldn't say he's pushing the ball down the field. He's averaging five yards, intended air yards per pass. They could gash you on the ground, but I think that's a beatable Niners team. And then Philadelphia, is Jalen Hurts even going to be healthy for the playoffs? Is he going to be 60-70%? He's never even won a playoff game. And you hung 31 on that Philadelphia team in primetime a couple weeks ago. You've already beat Dallas. Tampa Bay's no good. Who else do you even make the case for in the NFC? The Giants, the Commanders, not happening. So it's starting to feel like that, man. It's all setting up pretty well here.
The other thing about it, as you were talking and you were setting up the first scenario, could you imagine? This team hasn't been able to do anything with the Niners in the playoffs forever and a day. And Rodgers gets to go home and celebrate going to a Super Bowl in San Francisco, right, and beats his hometown team. And the Packers beat the Niners, a team that Rodgers has struggled against in the playoffs. Are you kidding me? Like, again, magic carpet ride, baby. Feel it. It's coming to a stadium near you, y'all. Ain't nobody talking about it nationally yet. But if this team gets in the playoffs, they're going to have won how many straight then? 3, 4, 5, 6 straight, something like that. They're going to be one of the hotter teams going into the playoffs. If they run the table here and win the last two games going in, people are going to be talking about this team. But like you said earlier, they got to have Nixon. They got to have Watson. Those two for sure. And I would say Yash Nyman also is pretty critical here. If Lowry doesn't come back, sure, you're a nice guy. I'm not as concerned about Lowry not coming back. But those other three dudes have got to be ready for the playoffs.
And Bakhtiari. I want Bakhtiari. I know some people are down on David Bakhtiari, but when he's on that field, I feel much better for the safety of Rodgers. So him, Yash, whatever you got to do there. And hey, we've seen this before, man. I mean, not that the Giants, that team that beat Tom Brady and the undefeated Patriots years ago, not that they had to win. Like, they pretty much had to win out. They were able to lose that last game to New England, but you remember they played them tough, and everybody's like, man, maybe this team's for real. It just seems like the team that gets hot at the right time. It's like baseball every single year. The Dodgers win 106 games, but they take their foot off the gas in August and September. It's really hard to ramp back up, and we're kind of seeing that right now. Now, Philadelphia is tough. They're going to be a tough out regardless. We know how tough San Francisco is, but I'm saying if there is a year to make a run in the NFC, it's this year. There's not a dominant team other than, I guess you could say, San Francisco and Philadelphia, but I think this would be the year. But again, you got to take care of business against Minnesota. That worries me a little bit, and you got to take care of business against Detroit. Detroit, but it's great getting two dome teams at Lambeau Field. And hopefully that weather is crappy, cold, snowy. I'll take it all. Looks like it's going to be a little warmer than I want. I'll be there on Sunday, leaving on Saturday. I'm hoping I wanted like 15, 14 degree
weather. No chance.
Yeah,
it's going to be like 40 or 45, I think, or something insane like that.
You're going to have people probably for the best. Aaron Rodgers is not good in these cold weather games.
Yeah, you're going to have people at Lambeau in like shorts tailgating. If people are going to be rolling and toggling, it's 45. Yeah, but it feels like summer. We had like minus 30 degree wind chills the previous weekend. So, and how about snow in Miami yesterday? That was insane too on Christmas Day. I mean, it's got to be cool for the people in Miami, but either way, that was pretty wild. Even Rodgers brought up the fact that after the game, he's like, yeah, I thought we were going to come in here. 78 degree weather. It's like 45 degrees in here today. That's all it is.
Yeah, I thought they were talking about like taking a walk on the beach before or after the game. I'm like, walk on the beach? It's 45 degrees.
Exactly right. He is Ryan Horvath. Follow him on Twitter, Ryan Horvath. Bet MGM tonight, weeknights. So make sure to check him out while you're watching the games. Have that going on in the background. Always an entertaining listen there for them. And then, of course, at Sparky Red, if you want to follow me, got my Packer interviews up throughout the week. Bucks, Badgers, Marquette, all those interviews up each and every week. All you do every day, Monday through Friday, go check out the website, 1250amthefan.com, or on your Odyssey app. You can search it. Best Packers coverage, best Bucks coverage, best Brewers coverage, whatever the case may be. You can listen to the most current interviews from each of those. Been doing a lot of Brewers interviews lately. If you want to catch up on that. And of course, Packer interviews, we do at least two a week on those as well. All right, enjoy the rest of your day. Have a good one, everybody. Toodles.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.